All right, that brings us to item six, which is to consider and take possible action to amend the CSERA Board of Retirement Regulations. I will ask Christina to kick this off, or is Karen doing this? I'm sorry. I apologize.
Thank you.
I wasn't sure who was going to lead.
So we have proposed amendments to the board's regulations. In your agenda packet, you have a brief memorandum that summarizes all of the proposed changes. Next, you have a clean version of the regulations that includes all of those proposed edits. And the last piece is we included a red line of the regulations, and that shows in red all of the changes that are being proposed. And so I'll go through what those changes are. In section two under meetings, we did have a request from a trustee to change the regular board meetings to the first and third Wednesdays of the month. So that edit is included for the board's consideration. We have some changes there that streamline the order of business in the meeting agendas. We are proposing to change trustee comments to trustee reports on meetings, seminars, and conferences because those brief reports are required by law. So basically, when trustees are reimbursed for expenses, travel expenses that are incurred in attending meetings or conferences, there's a law that says the trustees then have to provide a brief report to the board about all of those meetings and conferences. And we also have an edit to a procedural motion. It's the call for the question motion that is intended to cut off debate. Currently, it is in the regulations, but the way it is phrased is not really consistent with Robert's Rules of Order. So our proposal is to edit that section to basically be in line with Robert's Rules of Order. That particular motion hasn't been really exercised with this board for a number of years, but it was in the past used, and it can be used. And we're proposing basically aligning it with Robert's Rules of Order.
Yeah, it was used in 2014. I do know that.
Yes.
More than once. Yeah.
Next, we have section three regarding membership and exclusion from memberships. And we are proposing adding a provision that allows an adjustment in the membership entry date by no more than 12 weeks after members' entrance into service at CSERA, and that's in order to facilitate members who would like to establish reciprocity with another system, and in some situations they have overlapping service. And under the law, if there's overlapping service, reciprocity can't be granted. So this would allow our system to move up their membership date so that they wouldn't have overlapping service, and so that the members would then have the benefit of reciprocity. So this would benefit the members. We do see this come up occasionally, and I think it would be very helpful for the members to have this and be able to enjoy reciprocity. Sometimes it's just a matter of someone left one county and came to this county but is still using their accruals and started working here, and that creates overlapping employment, overlapping service, and that prevents them from enjoying the benefits of reciprocity. And this particular change is allowed under the law. This was changed a number of years ago to be something that is permissible for the board to adopt. Next, we have section 3.4, certifications. The proposed edits there are to add provisions regarding the type of information that CSERA requires of enrolling employees. And also noting that the employee certification can be done electronically by the employer. And in addition, we're proposing adding an employer penalty for them failing to provide the enrollments. So that is going to be new. That is something that we haven't had before, a penalty on the employer for late enrollment. And lastly, we have some updates to the language referring to compensation policies and statutory references, updating those and clarifying those references. Besides the substantive changes that we just covered, I wanted to point out the process for amending the regulations. It does require a two-thirds vote here at the board, and then they need to go to the Board of Supervisors for their approval. And only once the Board of Supervisors approve the regulation changes, the updated version becomes effective. Are there any questions?
I don't have a question. I just have I want to make an overarching comment about the update to the regulations and one item in particular. So, and it may have been covered in the memo. I can't recall, but what I learned along the way after I became chair, what was something as simple as wanting to change the agenda to some degree, to maybe like change a title or the general structure, was actually something governed by the board regulations, which is fine, except that if you want to change what's in the regulation, it requires us to take the step we're taking today and then go to the Board of Supervisors and have that approved, because even though we're an independent district, we still have that necessary approval process on board regs. So, for instance, my favorite agenda item, which is miscellaneous, right? Believe me, Christine and I have had this conversation probably 100 times, I'll bet, couldn't actually change that without literally changing the board regs and then having the Board of Supes adopt that change, and I expect and hope that they will. So the point of that, not to be long-winded, but the idea here was to build in more flexibility for us to manage our own business within reason. So if we want to have an agenda structure that gets moved around or altered, or we want to try out a different template, for instance, we introduced the consent calendar without having to amend board regulations, but that's about as creative as we could get, frankly. So the design criteria here really is trying to avoid an iterative go back and forth every time we want to have some flexibility to manage the board's business. So that was certainly my interest in participating in this. And so, anyway, I just wanted to point out, maybe it was obvious or self-evident, but if not, that's a lot of the reason for wanting to have the flexibility of the change. Item last that I will say is, with respect to the board meeting date, we've historically met on the second and fourth Wednesdays of the month, absent Sackers Week or whatever, where we build that into the calendar. The purpose here was to provide flexibility to make a change. We do have one board member who has an anticipated about to be real conflict coming up. It's Member Anderson, who's not able to join us today. So the idea was, the language is designed to be flexible enough for the board to adopt Monday and Wednesday, or to adopt Tuesday and Thursday as it is now. That is, I'll pose that question, I guess, that the language and the regs would allow the board to make that determination without having to go back and forth with the Board of Supervisors to approve that change, if that makes sense.
We're asking for a change, for us to vote on a change today, right? To go from 2 and 4 to 1 and 3.
So in the packet, it is written that way, yes. But I'm also suggesting to you that the flexibility now, if we're the board to adopt these regulations, in my judgment, allows us to change the meeting date, either revert to what we have now or make some other modification to the meeting date without having to go back and forth to the Board of Supes. But yes, you're right. In the packet today, the proposal is Monday and Wednesday.
Well, could we take the change in dates as a separate item instead of having it
Yes, you could vote on the changes except for that change. You could vote to adopt the proposed changes except for the change in the meeting schedule. Does that answer your question?
Well, yeah, I mean, just personally speaking, I mean, I've got 2 and 4 just at least 6 months, if not, you know, just planned out. And so, but I don't know how it is for the rest of the board, if that's an issue. But, and then the other question is, if it was the desire of the board to change to 1 to 3, when would that kick in? That would be like as of 2025, or?
We would have to wait for the Board of Supervisors to approve the amendment, and then once it's approved, it would go into effect, unless the board wishes to have a different timing on it. I did want to just clarify and maybe just read out the proposed new language on the meetings. You'll find that under Section 2.1, and it appears on page 3 of the regulations. The proposed change would be that regular meetings are held each month at 9 a.m. on the first and third Wednesdays of the month, as determined by the board in the boardroom of CICERA, unless changed by the board. The reason why we have to specify what the meeting days are is because the Brown Act requires us to do so. So this regulation is basically the overarching governance document that the public looks at to know when the board is meeting. So we have to have this specific in the regulation.
I have kind of a suggestion for, can we put in the language that we're changing to first and third, provided Board of Supervisors approves it, and put the date, say, starting March 1st, 2025? This might, because you said that we have it planned for 6 months, right, or 4 months?
Well, yeah, I mean, just overall schedule-wise, this is something that my department's gotten used to, and scheduling, it's worked out fairly well.
That's just my situation, so the rest of the board, I'm happy to go along with what the rest of the board desires, but I guess we would have to approve the process for amending board regulations and then take it from there. But my thought would be, why don't we just do that first and then come back to the first and third versus two.
So not to overly complicate this, but mindful of what the Brown Act requires, if we were to amend the language that's before us in the red line to state that regular meetings are held on either the first and third Wednesday or the second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 9 a.m. as determined by the board, is that sufficient to provide what the Brown Act requires in terms of specificity?
I don't believe so.
And I thought about that all morning.
And to follow up on Dennis's comment, I think you could add as of 1/1/2025, for example. If you're thinking of, okay, I'm okay with this change, but I just need more time. So that is another option.
So, but the other thing is the end of it, Trustee Anderson, is this is kind of a permanent change in her schedule. Is that correct? But her need to go to 1 to 3, or, and then the other question is, well, if we get another suit that comes on, as a replacement, for say they want to switch out, then, you know, schedule-wise, who knows if that person's going to want to go back to 2 and 4. And
yeah, so I don't know if it, to go into your first point, I don't know if I would say that it's permanent. What I do know is that when the Board of Supervisors reorganizes, the anticipation is that she may undertake a role on a committee assignment, a regional agency assignment that would provide for the conflict. That may or may not last more than a year, depending upon the length of the appointment. Typically, at least in my experience, the Board of Supervisors members who serve on regional agencies do so for more than a year, although it can be as short as a year, because typically those assignments to regional agencies and committees are done annually when the board reorganizes. So I can't say that it's permanent is what I was trying to get at. But it seems to me the state of play today, as we sit here today, is that the board meets on the second and fourth Wednesdays of the month. So one way to approach this is for the board regulations to state the current case, because that is the current case. But I would ask our legal counsel if we could state it as follows. Regular meetings are held on the second and fourth Wednesday of each month at 9 a.m., or as otherwise determined by the board, and then the rest remaining the same. In other words, that we would have the ability to change the meeting date here when it's ripe for decision, because it's not today necessarily. In other words, if we adopted these regs and they were approved next month, then we'd be fomenting a shift to the first and third Wednesday before the actual need arises. So my question is, can we state the base case is it's second and fourth now, or as determined by the board?
So
that's the question.
It basically already says that currently, because currently it says second and fourth Wednesday unless changed by the board.
The tag end, right? It's at the very end,
yes.
Right? Okay.
So you have that authority now under the current version of the regulations. So if that's where the board would like to go, then you would make a motion to approve all of the proposed changes with the exception to the change in section 2.1, regular meetings.
But does the current language mean we have to do it each meeting at a time, like one meeting at a time when we change it, or we can change, say, from Tuesday to second and fourth to first and third? Because I know we changed some meetings, right?
Yeah.
We move them but it's just individual meetings. So.
Exactly.
Okay. So it's still, we'll have to vote every time. Okay.
Well, you vote on it when you approve the calendar.
So we can always come back to this. So
yes.
if it becomes a formality and the need does arise and so forth, then we can have that discussion when that happens, right? We just have to give so much, how much notice do we have to do with respect to change of calendar or a particular month or going forward? Do we have to give a month? And for the Brown Act, do we have to give a month in advance or?
Not that long. For example, if you wanted to cancel a meeting, you could do it at the meeting preceding the meeting that you want to cancel.
Okay.
Are there any other board members who have challenges with the proposed schedule shift to Monday and Wednesday? Just because I know David made me aware, but I wasn't sure if there were any others. Jerry?
Scott, if you just indulge me for a minute, I hate to waste the board's time with this, but as a reader, I have a little problem with the interchangeability, apparently, of the words shall and will. It seems like a distinction without a difference, and yet it suggests that one is different than the other. So is there a particular reason for it? I mean, in one paragraph, for example, shall is used twice, will is used twice, and I'm trying to figure out what the difference is. I'm not. Some of this predates you as an author.
Yeah,
it goes way back.
This is a document that, of course, is a living, breathing document that's been patched over with different changes. I think we would have to read each provision with that in mind and see if we need to update the words will and shall. But if you have a particular paragraph, we can.
It's
look
throughout
at
the
that.
Document. I mean, you could in fact infer that shall somehow seems more serious than will.
Right.
And yet, if you check the dictionary, they're virtually interchangeable. So, but just to interchange them for the fun of it, either prior authors or even new authors, I'm not sure what it adds. I think it just adds confusion.
It could be that if it was something that's required in the law, Searle or the Brown Act, we use the word shall.
Right.
I don't have before me an example of will, but we'll have to take a look and see if it's something that is not as, you know, hardwired into the law.
I'll just give you on the red line version, page 7. The chairperson shall appoint committees. Then it goes on to say a quorum for a committee shall. Then it goes on to say that the committee meetings will be open to the public. And then later on it says of each committee will be appointed by the chairperson. I just don't understand. It's a perfect example of a distinction without a difference. I just don't understand.
I agree. We could use the word shall in all instances in this paragraph.
Well, my question is larger than that.
Yep.
It's not focused
Agreed.
On this one paragraph.
I think it's
Agreed.
A drafting vestige. I mean, I think it's, you know, it's an older document, and at one time, will was used, and shall is being used now. I mean, legally, I think shall connotes a mandatory obligation that's reachable by in other words, if a court were going to issue a writ and an agency had a mandatory duty, the word shall is, you know, the red flag word that signals that a writ could issue to require that be done. Probably the same for will, although I haven't had that experience.
Just a thought as a reader.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Any other thoughts on the regs, the meeting date issue?
I just got a quick question. We're moving closed session to the end of the meeting. Is there a reason just to help facilitate the outside vendors coming in and so they don't have to sit around and wait while we're doing this? Okay.
I mean, I don't have a particular set answer for it. We typically will move them. We haven't moved too many, but we will move them if there's, for instance, if we have a large presentation item or right. if we have people, folks who are paying by the hour or whatever, we will likely adjust and
right.
move them. Some agencies do closed sessions prior to the start of the regular meeting, right, as a routine. I don't know, Karen, to what, you know, in terms of the order, was there a thought putting it there? Keep in mind, we can change that for every meeting. In other words, the chair and the CEO go over the agenda and also with counsel, and so the order of the agenda is set at that time. And there have been times when up front we could anticipate either a need or a conflict or a better order, and we do it that way based on the timing of the item. So I guess that's my long-winded way of saying that this is actually, while it's a template, it's subject to change
right.
every meeting. I don't think it's a proposal to now move closed sessions always to the end.
Okay. Well, that's it's just on the end. That's what I was
So closed session, it wasn't my change to change closed session to the end, so I'm not sure if it was from Christina. Mm-hmm. Or was it from you?
Yeah, and it's exactly for what you say. So when we have vendors coming in like we did today, they're not sitting out here for the hour we're in closed session. But yes, we can still move it. If we had disability members sitting here, we may want to move it earlier so that we can take care of their business and they can have the rest of their day. A lot of times we don't have any members with disabilities, so it might be nice to get through the rest of the items and leave those items for the end.
Right.
But the contemplation is that this will be the default. Closed session would be at the end if that's what the board chooses to do today.
Okay. I was just curious why we moved it. Thank you.
Does the Brown Act require specificity with respect to the agenda, or is that just a matter for the board regulations to specify?
It does not require it. You're asking if whether this needs to be in the board regulations.
Yes, or right. if the board regulations can simply say that closed sessions of the board shall be as, you know, determined on a meeting by meeting basis, because that's frankly what happens now as a practical matter. They typically occur early in the agenda, but not always. And they're always subject to change.
Yeah, I think that's possible.
Okay. Well, whoever, if a motion is to be made, I would suggest that that be included in the motion. Or we can amend the motion at, you know, at the time. But it's a good call, Louis.
And so what would be the wording that we should use?
Closed sessions of the board shall be as determined by the board chair and the CEO in setting the agenda. Because that's what happens now.
So we
that's
would delete
the base case.
G and instead have a sentence. The proposal was to add G at the end of the agenda list for closed session items. So instead of that, we would have a sentence that says the timing of closed session items will be set by the board chair in consultation with the CEO.
Yes.
Something like that? Okay.
Yeah. Because we don't always have closed sessions. Some agencies, it's a standing item, right? I mean, with ours, it's not. Typically wouldn't have them on the second meeting of the month as we are currently structured, and we don't necessarily have them on the first meeting of the month. So to me, it's a floater, if you will. It's an item that we have on an as-needed basis. And so where it goes on the agenda should be flexible. Spoiler alert, I don't think it's going to change from what we're doing now.
But you did use the word will, right?
Shall's fine with me.
Any other questions, comments?
I had one short question. How often do we use the CEO exception for the $50 forgiveness for a very minor subsection?
Not very often.
I only thought about it since inflation and whatnot came up. Would we want to just, since we're here, bump it up a smidge? Just, I mean, the point is relatively small. Just crossed my mind, but I didn't think we used it very often.
Yeah, we don't use it very often at all.
I had a question also. How often the need arises? Because there is one change for the ability to move start date, right, for the new employees. I mean, I wouldn't. Vacation, for example, you can sell pretty much everywhere, right? So you're not going to lose it. So is it just for people who want to use their admin leave before they change employees? Because this, I mean, I don't really see that much of a need. So is it like a really big problem?
To my knowledge, it comes up occasionally. It's not a big problem, but it comes up occasionally.
It does occasionally come up, and it's more for members that are incoming to us, so they may not be able to sell vacation at whatever other county they're at. They're trying to establish reciprocity. They decide that they're going to leave their employment but use their 2 weeks of vacation or their admin leave, whatever accruals that the other employer in the other system provides, and then they come to work in Contra Costa County. And because they're still in membership through those accruals with the other retirement system, we can't create reciprocity between the two of us because we can't move that membership date with us. So they're actually, during that period, receiving income in that other county, and then they're starting to work in Contra Costa County. Mm-hmm. So this would allow us to move that membership date later so that they could establish reciprocity between the two systems.
Okay. Just to follow up a little bit on the same section Donnie was asking about, if I'm looking at page 21, this is dispensing of recalculations. Two things come up. Just for consistency's sake, the first one on number one says the amount is $50 or less. The next one says less than $5. Shouldn't those be parallel, sort of like $5 or less? You're excluding $5, but you're including $50. I'm just looking for a little parallel construction there. So the thought would be, is $5 or less? Since the prior one says $50 or less.
The one under number one, closed accounts, mm-hmm. that's when we have withdrawals.
Right.
So it could be
I'm just looking at what the authority
account.
Is. One suggests that whoever is granted this authority can grant it for $50 or less. Mm-hmm. The next one says they have can grant it for only less than $5, not $5. I'm just looking for some parallel.
Oh, to make it $5 or less.
Yeah. Okay. Or no, less. Less than $5 or less, right. So that it reads like the 50 one.
Okay.
And then my favorite legal thing, I just don't understand. I know this is convention, probably goes back to Alexander Hamilton or something, but why we have to say $50 and then put parenthetical references to $50. You know, it seems to me the reader, if you just wrote $50 with a dollar sign and a 50, you wouldn't have to define it as $50 in English.
It's a more formal legal way of expressing a number.
I would call it cumbersome, but that's
sure.
Different.
Yes. Yeah.
You're suggesting our legal system is cumbersome?
Well, it's been around for a while.
Yes, so in has. Contracts and
I understand the distinction, but
yeah, we spell it out and we put the number right. In parentheses. Yeah.
I recognize that. I'm just asking what we gain by doing that, other than insulting the reader. Okay, I'll stick with my earlier suggestion and let that one hang around for another 100 years.
I'm sure it shall.
Yeah.
All right. Any other comments or thoughts?
So I would move to amend the CSERA Board of Retirement Regulations as presented, and well, with caveats that you mentioned, but also with the exclusion of the 2.1 with the change of Wednesdays from 2 to 4 to 1 to 3. I'd like to come bring that back to a different meeting.
So the motion is to approve the form of change to the board regulations that's before us with the proviso that the meeting date should reflect the current practice of the second and fourth Wednesday.
Correct.
With that change. And then does your motion also include the change regarding closed session and the establishment of closed session being done by the board chair and CEO in the development of each agenda?
Yes.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Is everybody clear on the motion before us? No further questions? Not seeing any? All right, we have a motion and a second. Let's vote. Chabadrev?
Aye.
Gordon?
Aye.
Holcomb?
Aye.
Kroll?
Aye.
MacDonald?
Aye.
Muirswell?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Finley?
Aye.
And Kwan?
Aye.
All right, that motion carries 9-0. And we'll probably, we'll wind up, I'm certain, bringing that other item back within a month or so, probably, when it gets fleshed out. I don't know how long the process will take for the board to consider these and whatnot, so mm-hmm. probably a month or so. All right.
Probably should be noted that Karen only set aside 5 minutes for this item, and it's gone through 30 minutes now.
It's totally fine. Thank you.